Theme parks are tightening security, but the Magic Kingdom is adding explosions to Big Thunder Mountain. Han Solo might be dead, but he's announcing more about Star Wars Land than the Disney Parks blog has at this point. We're going to play Where in the World is Tom Corliss? That's tonight's game, and we're asking the tough questions about 2016 at the Walt Disney World Resort. You've read WDW News Today. Now you'll experience WDW News Tonight.
From Orlando, Florida, this is WDW News Tonight. Here are your hosts, Tom Corliss and Nick LoCicero.
Welcome to the very first episode of WDW News Tonight. I'm one of your hosts, Tom Corliss. Joining me, you can't see him tonight. We're going to get him a webcam next week. But there's Nick LoCicero over there in the control room.
I broke all the webcams.
I can't even hear you.
That's bad.
Are you even mic'd?
I am mic'd.
You're real low.
All right, we're hitting the
You broke it already.
Yeah, we broke it already.
I can't.
How you doing?
You're real low.
Well, that's not my problem.
Is it my problem?
I think so.
You think it's me? All right, never mind. We're never going to get this to work. Everyone should have knew that going into it.
Show one.
Yeah, it is the first show. So welcome
to WDW News Tonight,
an entirely new era in WDWNT. We're going to be bringing you a little bit of comedy, a little bit of in-depth discussion, some serious stuff, too. It's going to be something pretty different from anything you've heard before, even different from WDW News Today, the radio show, which was also here on WBZW. Which we're happy to be back on after a hiatus with this brand new program.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is a lot of fun. This is opening up all new doors for us, and new night, new time. Got the late night audience, West Coasters out there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's still evening. It's still evening on the West Coast.
People in the UK, good morning. Top of the day to you.
Absolutely. I had a whole scripted introduction and everything. I didn't go with it because I couldn't hear you.
Look, you could hear me, right?
I can obviously hear you now. I had to turn up the volume and hear a little
bit. There you go. So yeah. we have our announcer has the flu.
Yeah.
We have something's broke on your end.
We fixed it. Justin and Jason, and Rob, our wonderful technical crew, apparently listen.wdwnt.com wasn't really functioning that well before we came on the air, but they got it to work, and all of you are out there in the chat and listening and watching for the first time. And thank you to the technical crew for coming through for us tonight.
Yeah, some volume problems, but I think we're here. We're here.
We're here.
Doing this.
It's happening now.
This is live, and we're going forward.
If this had worked out, I would have said good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tom Corliss, and you're not.
That's a good intro. You should use that next week.
I will use that next week.
Go for
homage
it.
Homage to Weekend Update, which we've always had. The end of the podcast has always been an homage to Weekend Update.
I didn't
have a pleasant tomorrow.
Yeah.
Of course. But welcome to the show. Yesterday, Nick, was Groundhog's Day.
Certainly was. Did you watch Bill Murray movies?
I wish I did. I wanted to watch Groundhog's Day, but I didn't.
Love it. It's a tradition. I didn't have the time yesterday, so maybe sometime this week.
You know who had the time? Bill Murray, because that day just keeps going.
And going. Over and over. And going.
More of this comedy to come.
These are the jokes, guys.
Yeah. You know, Disney actually had their own version of Groundhog's Day today.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, James Cameron came out and saw his shadow, so it means six more years of Avatar construction. Right?
Sounds about right.
A rim shot for that one?
Oh, that one? Okay.
Well, I think that's a bad joke. That needs a rim shot.
I didn't think I could rim shot my own joke.
You can?
Okay.
Just because you wrote it doesn't mean anything. They're hearing it for the first time.
Wait, so it's a bad joke?
They're all none of them are good. When there's a good one, I'll let you know, because I will go on for 5 minutes after the joke. That Nick, that was really good, wasn't it? Huh?
Anyway. Acres?
Yeah. So let's we wasted enough time at the top of the show already. Let's get into some news, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk about what's going on in the world of Disney. I mentioned this at the top in the cold open. Big Thunder Mountain of the Magic Kingdom is going to be closed April 4th through July. An unmarked date in July to add that finale from Disneyland. They have the exploding scene with the projection mapping. Nick, you've seen that, right?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's really, really great. And we have video up. You can check it out at WDWNT.com. This is a good thing because the only explosive finale in Frontierland previously had been after you eat at Pecos Bill's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. But
Pecos Bill's or Big Thunder?
Both.
Both.
But anybody that goes with me doesn't want me to eat at Pecos Bill's.
Yeah. I like the new Pecos Bills. I've enjoyed the Tex-Mex.
Not the fun monorail ride after that.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, no opening date set. We think sometime around July 4th weekend they're going to try and get back open, but that isn't set in stone just yet.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Like, that's a great addition. Do you ever use the little explosive boxes that are over there?
I love that. I usually go through Fastpass, so I don't.
I know.
Typically do it. Sometimes I will sneak into the little, the handicap queue at the exit has one, and sometimes I'll just ask the cast member, like, can I go in there and do that? And they're like, yeah.
Well, that's the best one. Yeah, that one's easily accessible, too. Yeah. That's fun.
So cool. I wish the standby wasn't always so terrible. That's still, like, the worst queue, even though they added that. I don't want to stand in that queue.
No. It's hot. Yeah. Sweaty.
Also this week, the always entertaining Stephen Miller of the Disney Parks blog shared a video introducing TAG, or Travel Accessories Gear, a new line of items that's coming to the Disney Parks. Among the highlights of the new line, they have vintage-style luggage tags, luggage straps, Haunted Mansion neck pillow, and sleeping eye mask set, and much more you can see in the video posted at WWNT.com. One piece of travel merchandise they're still not making, Mission Space Vomit Bag. That or Frozen sing-along earplugs. One of those.
Need those.
Two items, yeah.
Is that still a thing? Do people still hate Frozen? Are people over that now?
I think so. It's turning into Star Wars hate. I'm seeing, like, there's Star Wars. Now that people are like, there's too much Star Wars. You know, people don't remember. It was like this for Lion King. I remember in the 90s, Lion King ended up everywhere.
It just seems so old to make fun of Frozen. I don't know.
It's getting old. Yeah, people, but there'll be a sequel soon. We'll get back on it. Yeah. So
I like these tag items, though. Honestly, like,
it's a great line.
Gorgeous, vintage.
Fantastic stuff. Check them out at WWNT.com if you haven't seen them yet. As part of the show's ongoing evolution, Lanuba by Cirque du Soleil has introduced two new acts recently, B-Boy and Aerial Bamboo. The acts join the recent additions of the clowns and the breathtaking juggling Rolla Bola act. So for the first time in any Cirque show, a B-Boy trio is featured in their own electrifying act. B-Boying, of course, is a physically demanding form of dance in which performers execute acrobatic tricks and moves, including flips and spins to music.
Of course.
In other words, break dancing for all the white listeners.
So
everyone.
Yeah. Why not next week?
Tough room.
I mean, there were some non-white people at D23.
There were. More on that next week. Performing their act for the first time in the U.S., there's the Russian couple that is doing the Aerial Bamboo act as well, which is pretty impressive. Aerial Bamboo involves a pole-shaped apparatus suspended from the ceiling with attached loops used for a variety of tricks and stunts. Very different from the other pole acts in Orlando, mostly along Orange Blossom Trail.
I knew you were going there.
That's for all the locals listening on AM 1520 WBZW.
Your hometown station.
From the indoor plant capital of Florida.
Foliage.
What is it, indoor foliage?
Well, it is indoor plant or foliage. Yeah, it's either or. Popka means potato.
Welcome to the South. All right.
Good fun.
So, yeah, I actually went and saw Lanuba. They gave us media tickets.
Yeah.
It was pretty great. Enjoyed it.
That was your first Lanuba.
I'd never been.
Yeah.
Have you been?
Yes.
Okay.
I enjoy it. It's not something I'm going to go out of my way
to
go.
It's not something to see twice, but if you haven't seen it, you should go.
Yeah.
I think that's my viewpoint. It's worth seeing at least once for sure. We mentioned this at the top of the show. Harrison Ford, the famous actor who portrayed Han Solo in Star Wars, will be appearing in that upcoming TV special celebrating 60 years of Disneyland on February 21st. Ford will preview Star Wars Land on the special, but it remains unknown if we will get any new details on the project at that time. But don't worry, folks. I'm sure new details are just around the river. Duh.
Yeah.
Can't see that if you're listening. We didn't really mention how people watch the show. Let's do it at the end of the news. We'll talk about it. Yeah.
Do we need to say spoiler alert?
No. If you haven't seen Force Awakens by now. Speaking of Ben, Kylo Ren, this guy, is coming to Disney World. Interactive meet and greet with Kylo will be replacing Darth Vader in the launch bay sometime this month. We expect towards the middle of the month. And the change has already come about at Disneyland. We actually have video up on YouTube already, and it's in the last Disneyland photo report. You can watch that as well.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to meet.
Yeah, I was hoping they just alternate the two, and every time Kylo takes over for Vader, he could say, "I will finish what you started, Grant."
That would be
Except
amazing.
Maybe FastPass Plus. Stand in our way.
So Kylo, does that mean Kylo is going to be like the Visa meet and greet?
Yeah, he's
going to
replace Vader in the Visa meet and greet as well, from what we've heard. So there you go. I'm sure you heard this already. Star Wars Episode 8 has been pushed back to December 2017 with Pirates of the Caribbean 5 Dead Men Tell No Tales now being released in May of 2017. Why not replace one of the most anticipated sequels of all time with the sequel even Penelope Cruz wouldn't come back? No, but seriously, Star Wars movies a year apart is a good thing. I didn't want 5 months after Rogue One to go into Episode 8. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I never want to celebrate Christmas again. So let's just have Star Wars in December till the end of time.
Right? And then people were concerned that was going to go up against the Avatar sequel, but not going to be the case.
James Cameron also saw his shadow, which means it's 8 years until he even talks about a sequel again.
But honestly, I'm excited for more Pirates movies.
I love
Johnny
Pirates.
Depp.
The fourth one just was so bad.
Right, but Johnny Depp makes up for that. Honestly. Yeah. Seriously, I want a good script, but Johnny Depp can be Jack Sparrow as long as he wants, and I will keep going.
Yeah, that's fine. New Year's Day, I watched all three of the originals, and I sat there and I was like, I still love these.
Yeah.
They're fantastic, but that I won't watch a fourth one. I hate it. Walt Disney World shaking up, we'll get through this one quickly, shaking up their theme park chain of command a bit. In order to cut out managerial middlemen, guest service managers are now known as guest experience managers. These managers are in charge of attractions, food and beverage, and merchandise sectors of each land. And the next step up there is a general manager executive position for each land. And then these general managers are just below the vice president of the parks. In this way, a frontline cast member is always just two steps away in the chain of command from the GM. Disney spokeswoman said the reorganization will not include layoffs or added jobs. But the restructuring also applies to resort hotels, Disney Springs, and the sports division.
The next step is just to have the guests be the frontline cast members. They just get right there.
I didn't have a joke written in. So
that's what I tried.
Yeah.
I tried.
It's all right. We can just move on. I didn't have anything. So April 2nd, 2016 is going to mark the end of many attractions at Disney's Hollywood Studios. But instead of telling you to just open a DHS map and start reading if you want to know what's closing, I'll give you the actual list. It's the Lights, Motors, Action, Extreme Stunt Show, the Streets of America, the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Playground, the Studio Catering Company, Watto's Grotto, all closing come April 2nd.
I had no idea stuff was closing at Hollywood Studios. That's weird.
Right.
No one talks about that.
You know, Nick, I've never been a big fan of Lights, Motors, Action, but now that I live here, it makes even less sense. You know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I realize if I want to see crazy driving and people shooting at each other from cars, I should just get on I-4. Another like, joke for our local crowd.
Best bet. Yeah.
Here in a pop.
Any tourist knows it.
Yeah,
and
that was, true.
Locals blame the tourists, but it's not necessarily. Yeah.
No, even in January, the traffic's terrible.
We're bad.
Yeah. Sadly, we're also going to be losing the Earful, or I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, Earful Tower soon. That's Earfell, as in Eiffel, not Earful, as in what you'll get from a fanboy if you pronounce it that way. Anyway, the longtime icon of the studios will be coming down. There's no word if it's going to be erected somewhere else or not. We think it may end up becoming the Disney Springs Water Tower, but we don't know yet. So we'll have to see what happens. But that's the news.
That's
in the news. And we're going to talk more about what's coming up in 2016 at Walt Disney World later, our in-depth discussion in hour two. We're also going to talk about security at the parks with a special guest coming up later in the hour. So plenty more news coming your way in the course of this program. But you know, Nick, news doesn't come cheap.
No.
This show is very expensive. Expensive cameras, all sorts of crazy equipment we have for this program. We need to pay for that. So
the lights.
We started creating our own products. So what we're going to do now is we have an ad for one of our upcoming products. Nick, can we go ahead and roll that?
Yeah.
Are you a rabid Disney fan? Do you need to know the Disney significance of every date on the calendar? Then boy oh boy, do we have the product for you. It's WDWNT, the audio calendar, presented by Walt Disney World boat captain Frankie Fax. It has everything you need to know about the Disney company, from the big dates.
October 1st, today is the day Walt Disney dedicated Walt Disney World while kidnapping Richard Nixon on the monorail. November 18th, today is Mickey Mouse's birthday. If you're in the parks, you can find the Hidden Mickey today only at high noon inside the Storybook Circus Companion restroom. December 5th, it's Walt Disney Day. Be sure to visit his frozen head over inside the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland Resort.
To the more obscure events that will prove to the internet just how big of a fan you are.
November 5th, the Navi give George Caligridis the idea for Disney's Animal Kingdom. April 20th, this is the day the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival started in 1995. It's been running continuously to this day. June 7th, Roy Disney dedicates the Fountain of Nations in front of Universal Studios Florida, Disney's fourth theme park.
And if nothing noteworthy happened on that day, Frankie Facts will provide you with fun facts to annoy your friends at your next party.
Hey, did you know that Spaceship Earth is actually Andre Giant's golf ball? Hey, did you know that when you visit Mount Sisson Flat Floor, you're actually not in Astropolis, but Orlando? Hey, did you know that Cinderella's castle was once taken over by Stitch, who turned into a pink birthday cake for Bobby's 80th birthday?
All this and so much more when you order WDWNT the audio calendar. Act now and we'll throw in WDWNT the lunar audio calendar, narrated by Walt Disney World bus driver Randy Rumer.
Hey, did you hear? It's going to be a full moon tonight.
That's no moon.
There you go. Operators are standing by to take your order for that.
those are flying off the shelves. You wouldn't believe.
Yeesh.
Flying.
If you think that commercial was bad, wait till next week. Anyway.
Next week will be fun.
Next week we are going to be off the air.
Two shows.
That will be the last show. Based on what's already in next week's show. Very quickly, I want to talk about, because we've never done this before, if you're watching me right now, you pretty much have the gist of things, but you can also be using our live chat, which is at listen.wdwnt.com. So there's a live chat, which I'm watching on my phone off to the side here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, someone just said that's a spaceship. Someone, hashtag Randy Forever, some Randy Rumor fans out there.
Yeah, no one's a fan of Frankie.
Frankie is awesome. We love Frankie. One of our beloved characters at WDWNT, if you never heard him before. But you'll hear more of them in the weeks to come.
Oh, gosh.
But, yeah, so at listen.wdwnt.com, you can listen to the audio live of the show. You can watch the video live of the show we have embedded. And you can chat live. And all that, again, happening live at listen.wdwnt.com. So first time we've ever done that. Please send us feedback. Let us know what you think about this whole process, if it's working for you, if it's not. Anything you'd like us to improve, please let us know. Because we've never done this before.
Yeah, one of the main things I know when you came to me about this was interaction. We want to interact with you guys however is best and easiest for you guys to interact with us, whether that be calling us 407-774-8255, tweeting at us.
Hashtag WDW tonight.
Yep.
Is the hashtag we're using.
And or just getting on that chat, you know, however works best for you. Watching the video, sitting back, relaxing, watching Tom's face. Who knows? People may enjoy that. Don't know.
I don't enjoy. I don't enjoy looking at myself.
No.
Anyway.
No. I'm glad you have the lights off in there. But the other thing is, and this show will be on demand as well. Once it's done.
You could be watching this on YouTube tomorrow, or actually it goes up right after we're done. This will go up on YouTube. Or you could be listening via the podcast feed, or it streams on the site as well. The idea is, obviously, we want you to be a part. We want to interact with you live, but we also want to make this available if you can't listen live. This is something we want everybody to take part in. It's a big production, a lot of fun, and we think we're going to do something pretty cool here. But I know we're already running behind, Nick, so I think we're going to take a commercial break.
Speaking of interacting, we are going to play a game tonight.
Every year we
want to get some contestants on the line for a game. So now is the time to call. I saw there was a lot of interest in the prizes from Theme Park Connection that we have out there. And if you want to play Where in the World is Tom Corliss? One of the fan favorite games. We're going to play that when we get back. But you could give us a call right now. Get on the line to play. 407-774-8255 is the number to call, 407-774-8255, and you could be a contestant to play Where in the World is Tom Corliss.
And I'm being told, actually, the audio stream isn't working yet. We'll work on that, but obviously I think everyone's watching us in the Google Hangout anyway, but we'll get that figured out.
All right. They're listening to WDW News Tonight.
Welcome Welcome back to WDW News Tonight. Nick, I know we're going to play our game in a couple minutes here. We got some contestants on there. Do we have room for more at this point?
Yeah, actually, we got room for one more contestant. We can take up to four contestants, so we have three on the line right now.
407-774-8255, room for one more contestant. But, Nick, first we got to talk about something. We have a new segment.
We do. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is our venting segment, and we call it...
Am I saying it?
Yeah, I thought you were saying it.
I don't know. You told me
wrong.
You have all these audio intros. I don't know what they are.
I get things wrong.
The name of this new segment is Tom and Nick Are Angry About Things.
I have access to the entire curse word library. This new console is done.
It's a damn poor mind indeed. Can't think of at least two ways to spell a word.
No privacy. It's all around this place.
I don't like Sam.
I don't like James.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was dead.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
All right, Tom, you want to start us off? What are you angry about?
I'm angry, as usual, I'm angry at Universal Orlando, Nick. This land purchase, did you hear about this? 400 and something acres they bought for 130 some odd million dollars. That's not even really particularly close to the Universal Orlando Resort. I don't understand this. It's by the convention center.
Right.
Like,
my understanding, my understanding is they'll move office buildings there and use that space to expand.
It's 400 acres. I mean, there's a park. Obviously, there's going to be a park going over there. Mm. And whether or not Nintendo's in there, but I just think it's too far. Like, Disney World has transportation, but it's all on property. But at Universal, they're going to be trying to cross International Drive.
It's going to be a nightmare.
It's dumb. I'm angry about it. It's stupid.
All right.
What are you angry about?
I'm angry at people that are upset that Hollywood Studios is under construction. Get over it. I see all these comments out there. Like, I'm not going to Hollywood Studios. Why should I pay for a full day for a half-price park? Everything's closed. Then stay away. I don't care, and there's no reason to complain. In 4 or 5 years, you'll be fine. You will have all kinds of new stuff to play with, and you'll be enjoying it again. There's three other parks to go to here. Just enjoy those. And there's zero reason. Like, it's like people don't understand. I don't understand. It really, really upsets me every single day. We get it. They're closing stuff.
I agree.
To put in new stuff. I understand.
Agree.
Move on. It's okay. Breathe. Don't go for a couple years. Let me go. I don't care. That's what I'm angry about.
All right.
I gotta calm down. So I gotta play a game.
Play a game. And you know what that game is called, Nick?
I do.
It's Where in the World is Tom Corbett?
All right. And we have three contestants on the line. You want to take a second to say hi to each one of them?
Sure.
Let's do it. Hey, Chris, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, thanks.
Thanks. Where are you calling in from tonight?
Arlington, Virginia.
All right, very good. And you'll play Where in the World is Tom with us tonight. But we're going to talk to your competitors here tonight. We have Kathy on the line. Kathy, good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're doing great. You ready to figure out Where in the World is Tom?
Yes.
Excellent. Where in the world are you?
Long Island, New York.
Long Island. All right. Hold on the line. And we have long-standing. I would have been disappointed if this guy didn't call.
Is it Gabe?
We have Gabe.
Gabe.
Hey, it's great to be back.
He's christening our new show here. Gabe, of course, from Florida, and Gabe is going to try to figure out where in the world is Tom. So we're going to bring everybody on here.
You know, now on the video show, I can show them the prizes. Isn't this an amazing technological innovation?
I know, that is so cool. So we're playing for some prizes from Theme Park Connection. We're going to let you guys play in the order that you called in here. And Tom, you wanted to take us through a little bit of the rules for Where in the World is Tom?
So here's how it's going to go. And Where in the World is Tom Corliss? I am somewhere at the Walt Disney World Resort. It's your job to tell me where. And how we do that is we go clue by clue. They start very broad and they get very specific. It's turn-based. So because Chris called in first, Chris is going to get to go first on the first question. But after the first clue, the next clue goes to Kathy. The clue after that goes to Gabe. We keep going in that order until someone guesses correctly. When you guess correctly, you move on to the next round until one person is left standing. So because there's three of you, there will only be two questions in round one. The first two people to get correct answers move on to the next round. Is that clear? I don't think it's probably our easiest game.
I got it.
Do our contestants okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. All right.
All right. So we're going to start with Chris. Nick, do you want to get that? There we go. There you go. All right. Round number one. Here we go. Chris, I'm in a theme park.
Are you at Epcot?
Nope. Well, I might be, but that's not the location we're looking for. Kathy, this used to be a restaurant, this location I'm in that's inside a theme park.
Used to be a restaurant?
Yep.
Are you in Magic Kingdom?
Nope. Gabe, this restaurant served pizza, if you want to call it that.
Pizza Planet.
No. Chris, I'm in Epcot. It's a location in Epcot.
Viennapoli?
No. I heard a buzzer in there somewhere. Kathy, I'm in Future World.
You're in Future World, you said?
Yes, it's a location in Future World.
Sunshine Seasons?
Nope. Gabe, this is now a place where you can meet Disney characters.
It's the Epcot character spot.
It is the Epcot character spot. That's correct.
All right.
Absolutely correct.
Point for Gabe.
Nick, maybe bring down the music a little bit.
Is that too loud for you?
I just found it a little hard to hear.
Sure thing.
Yeah, we're playing with things. It's live.
All right. Gabe has 1 point.
All right. So, no points. Gabe moves in the next round.
Oh. All right.
We're playing old school. This is the old school rules.
Oh,
this is how it used to go.
Okay.
Yeah. So Gabe's in the next round. So just between Chris and Kathy is going to be our next question. Kathy's going to start this time around. All right. So here we go to our next location.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Kathy, I'm in a theme park.
Hollywood Studio.
Nope. Not the location we're looking for. Chris, I'm at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Tower of Terror.
Nope. Kathy, I'm in a building that has been a part of the park since 1989.
Are you in the Great Movie Ride?
Nope. Chris, I'm at an attraction.
Indiana Jones Stunt Show.
Nope. It's at an attraction. Kathy, this attraction features Darth Vader.
Are you in Star Tours?
Nope. Chris, I'm not at Star Tours.
Star Wars Launch Bay?
It is the Star Wars Launch Bay, that's right. So you're moving the next round. Kathy, unfortunately, you did not make it, but we do have a wonderful parting gift for you. You're going to get this thing. It's a Disneyland 60th anniversary paperweight.
Ooh.
Diamond Celebration. Pretty cool.
I like.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks.
All right, thank you, Kathy. Hold on the line. We'll get your information in a moment. All right. It's between Chris and Gabe.
Yes. Since Gabe made it into the round first, Gabe will get to play first in round two. Same rule. Actually, this is it. This is it because there are only two people left. We were going to have four contestants.
I gotcha. Okay.
So this is going to be it. So first person to get one right is going to win the game.
I see what you're doing now.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do here.
Very good.
So here we go. Everything on the line, the grand prize. Gabe, I'm in a theme park.
Ellen's Energy Adventure.
No. Why? Why?
I don't know.
Chris, I'm at an attraction.
Spaceship Earth.
Nope. Gabe, this attraction is a boat ride.
It's a Small World.
Nope. Chris, I'm at the Magic Kingdom. Need an answer.
Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Nope, that's incorrect. Gabe, I'm in Adventureland.
Jungle Cruise.
It is the Jungle Cruise. That's correct.
Hey. Congratulations.
But don't worry, Chris, for playing. You too will get one of these fantastic paperweights. Yay.
All right, thanks a lot.
I heard the wind is pretty strong in Arlington. Just
it came
very windy, so come in handy.
It's cool. It's kind of like a snow globe, too. Shake it around.
It is. So does Gabe have to win one more round now to get a grand prize?
I'll tell you what, for the sake of the game, let's do that. Gabe has to get another one. Why don't we do that?
All right. Sounds good. Gabe, you up for it?
Yes, I am.
All right.
So here's how we're going to play this, since it's just Gabe by himself. Here's how we're going to play. Gabe, you're going to get... I'm going to give you the first three clues. You're going to get one guess after the three clues. And maybe I'll give you a second guess after that. We'll see.
All right.
So I'm going to give you the first three clues. Here we go. I'll tell you what. We have the chat, and there doesn't seem to be any lag. Kill the music for a second.
Oh.
We have the chat going, and there doesn't seem to be any lag.
Yeah.
If someone in the chat after three clues can guess correctly and Gabe cannot, we'll give a prize to someone out there in the live chat.
Nice. All right. Let's try that.
So, Gabe, you're playing against the chat in this case. So here we go. Gabe, I'm at a theme park. I'm at an attraction in a theme park, and this attraction features animals. You get a guess. What are you going to guess?
Kilimanjaro Safari.
That's not correct. So the chat, you've got to beat him, chat. You got to be fast on the draw. If I see it in the chat before Gabe guesses it at this point.
Oh, wait, do I get more guesses?
You're going to get more guesses, but now the chat gets a shot at this. So
oh, boy.
You're racing the chat right now. Okay, I have the chat
Country
open.
Bear Jamboree.
Hold on. Wait. I got to give you another clue first.
All right.
This attraction is a train.
The Wildlife Express train.
That's not correct. It's not the Wildlife Express train. I'm at the Magic Kingdom.
The Walt Disney World Railroad.
No, I am not.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on, chat. I'm giving you the chance here, chat, to do it.
Oh, Thunder Mountain Railroad.
No.
Oh, my God.
I'm in Fantasyland.
Oh, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
This is a really good one. I'm proud of this one. Come on, somebody.
A train?
I'll give you the clues again. I'm at a theme park. I'm at an attraction. The attraction features animals. The attraction is a train. It's at the Magic Kingdom. It's in Fantasyland. Someone said it in the chat. Casey Jr. Casey Jr. Splash and Soak.
Oh, my God.
Whoever that was in the chat, email us, tom@wdwnt.com.
Excellent.
Wow.
Whoever said that first.
All right, well, Gabe, hold on.
Jason's got it in the chat out.
We're going to talk to you tomorrow.
Gabe, you're still going to get something. Gabe, you get to pick one of these two, and I'll tell you what, the person in the chat gets the other one. Gabe, you can pick the Chewbacca Stein or the BB-8 Sipper.
I'm going to go with the BB-8.
BB-8, all right. So we're going to get the Chewbacca Stein out to the person in the chat who guessed correctly. I almost knocked my drink over.
Well, all right. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thanks for playing.
Letting me play on your first show.
Thank you, Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, Where in the World is Tom Corliss, of course, brought to you by Theme Park Connection. Visit them at their incredible Orlando retail location. They're at the Florida Mall or online at themeparkconnection.com. We'll be right back with, we're going to talk park security. Park security with an expert in the field when we return.
And now it's time for the WDW Now Tip of the Week. Now, did you know that the new Symphony in the Stars fireworks at Disney's Hollywood Studios can be seen from two other Walt Disney World theme parks? If you're visiting Epcot, be sure to look above the skyline in World Showcase at Showtime. The show can also be seen very clearly from Disney's Animal Kingdom parking lot. For a unique view from inside Hollywood Studios, be sure to watch the show from across Echo Lake, facing Min and Bill's Dockside Diner. You'll get a better view of the entire show and a unique view you probably never knew existed. For more useful tips and trip planning information, be sure to visit now.wdwnt.com. And that was your WDWNT Now Tip of the Week. Now back to WDW News Tonight. Now.
Back. That was your tip of the week.
Now
we're gonna have an interview Which those of you listening to the show obviously know about the recent security concerns at the parks. It's been a big deal the last couple of months since the Paris attacks. Obviously then, again, in Paris, there was the whole incident. Last week, where a 28-year-old man carrying two guns, ammunition, and a Koran was arrested at the Hotel New York at Disneyland Paris. It's, of course, been a whole big deal. And so we thought, obviously, on this show, we're going to have fun. We're going to do a lot of comedy. But I also want to talk about some things that maybe we wouldn't talk about on the podcast either. So this seems to be one of those topics. Nick brought this to my attention, and Nick, can you talk about our guest?
Yeah, his name is Mike Piwarski. He is the he's actually the host of the Arms Room Radio Show, which is a radio show here in Orlando, Florida, nationally syndicated, but he's located here in Orlando. He's a former military and law enforcement professional, and you know, the reason I originally contacted Mike, obviously, there's been a lot of a show about increased security at all the theme parks, metal detectors at Disney World and everything. And I originally contacted Mike about something completely different, actually, because I know he's a concealed weapons permit holder, and I wanted to talk to him about a few things as far as that was concerned. And our conversation, Mike, it went off into just a completely different direction than I actually thought it would. And it was really fascinating. And so I want to bring you on, and there's a lot of things to touch on tonight, and but I want to start off with everything that I was kind of asking you about. I'm going to start off kind of broad, and then you go wherever you want with it. Right now, February 3rd, 2016, right. We've seen a lot of the different security measures publicly implemented at Walt Disney World over the recent months. Are we safer now than we were a year ago at the theme parks, at the Disney parks here in Orlando?
Ooh, loaded question, huh? I think the parks are doing a terrific job. Let me give you a little background first. I did many years of law enforcement and military doing threat assessments, physical security assessments, risk assessments. That includes the physical security side as well as looking at the risk side, like what, say, what ISIS is doing and matching that up to a facility via their infrastructure and their policies and procedures to make sure people are protected. So that's my background when I'm talking to you about what's going on here. Are we safer now or a year ago? Well, Disney's obviously put in some more, they put in a little more infrastructure there with the security measures as far as metal detectors. They've done, their policies have reflected that. They've done a good job where they could do it. The problem is you're not dealing with, this is the risk side, you're not dealing with anybody that's predictable. As you pointed out, what happened in Paris last week, you know, or excuse me, 10 days ago in Paris Disneyland there, you would think Paris was locked down and gun-free zone. Well, it's just not the case. You know, when the bad guy has the intent to do so, no amount of security or screening is going to stop him from at least trying.
Mm-hmm. So you've seen threat assessments of Walt Disney World specifically?
I've participated in those. Yes.
Yes. All right. So, are there specific threats that they are looking for, and are they meeting those challenges?
When they get a specific threat, they're doing a wonderful job of doing the screening and meeting the challenge of trying to make sure no incidents occur on the properties. Let me separate this a little bit. The properties, the enclosed parks, the parks with gates, mm-hmm. Epcot, Epcot, the Kingdom, Studios, and what am I forgetting?
Animal Kingdom.
Thank you, Animal Kingdom. They have an excellent facility plan. They have an excellent security protocol. You know, we've all been there. You know, I'm an annual pass holder myself. You go to the park. You go into the parking area. You're immediately under supervision in the parking area. We've all seen the elevated security towers.
I have some idea where you're going with this.
You know, they're watching. The people that are on the trams are watching. The people that are on the trams are in uniform. They might be in their tram clothes, but they might be security also. There's people in the parking lot there as part of the facility plan that are pretending to be guests so they can keep an eye on the parking lot, just walking back and forth from a car every 10 minutes. On the trams, you're watch coming through. People are doing a trained professional job of profiling people. Profiling being a good word. You're looking for people that have been previously identified as terrorists or people that are want to do threat to your facility. And so you're doing a job, and profiling is what it's called. It's not being on the lookout for them. You're profiling. You're looking for the guy in a red shirt that's got a bulge under his jacket. Well, I'm profiling guys with bulges under their jacket. That's a good profile, by the way, especially when it's, you know, Florida and it's 105 degrees in that parking lot.
Right.
You got some guy wearing a jacket coming in. Those are good profilings. As they come into the park, and this is where the threat area is. This is what you need to be concerned about. The threat to the guest is when there's a lot of guests. It's the terrorist wants the body count. They want the mass casualty. And that and if you could think of the one part that always occurs at every park, it's always at the entry gate when you come in. There's only so many gates to come in, and when you get to that time of day when there's a lot of people coming through, that's your most critical point at the facility, is where those people are coming through. Even more so because you haven't gone through the screening point yet. You haven't had your bag checked. You haven't had been subject to the random selection of going through the metal detector. You haven't been asked to step aside and let me see what's in your pockets. You're standing there in a crowd of 1,000 or more people and having been unscreened physically. You might have been observed, but nobody's put hands on you yet.
So if you're picked to go through the metal detector, someone's picking you out way before you get to that point.
What they'll do is if you've gone through a metal detector, they pick you to go through a metal detector, yes, you could be one of the ones that's been profiled. But what they want to do is keep the training going constantly. So they're not going to let that metal detector have downtime. There's two ways to pick people out going through the metal detector. One is every 10th person, or every person wearing a red shirt. That way you don't get into a habit of doing bad profiling. And then the other is you have an identified target. You're looking for the identified target. But when you're not doing every 10th person, or you're not doing the bad guy that you know is coming, you continue to put people through there. Perhaps you bring a new security cast member over and let him watch what's going on so he can observe the process. Perhaps you're trying out the new, the way the new computer system reads the metal detector. So you're always using the assets you have. You don't let them sit there and lie in wait for the bad guy to come along. One of the things the bad guy will do is he'll do his own previous pre-surveillance. They'll come out there and know what the security practice is. And you want it to appear that people going through the metal detector is completely unpredictable, that there's no pattern at all for them getting picked out. And when the bad guy says, man, I don't know if I'm going to get picked out or not, he's going to move to a different target. When he says it's too hard for me to get in here without getting scanned, he's moving to a different target.
Now, the metal detectors we're talking about, those are a more recent addition. I mean, before that, there just seemed to be a guy barely looking through my bag. But you're saying that there was definitely these kind of security measures that we didn't see in place even before that.
Absolutely. Yeah, there'd be security cast members in civilian clothes just walking around looking like guests. Or they might be dressed like the janitors, just to be able to walk around. There'll be usually a deputy sheriff or two out there in the parks in uniform posted off to the side. And either through coordination with the deputy sees or a security cast member sees, whether it be uniformed or non-uniformed, they'll identify that person and they'll take them off to the side and say, sir, you might have something in your pocket here. Can you tell us what you got in your pocket here? Or what's under the coat? Well, and you'll have to comply if you want to be a guest at Disney World today. Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing that I thought about you see these mass shootings in public areas, and it seems very defenseless inside a theme park. Is there how quick can armed security respond to a situation?
Inside the Disney facility, there are. Without giving away too many trade secrets at Disney, you've been there.
And
if you've
right.
been to the, I'm not telling you anything more than if you've been to the backstage tour. I think that's what it's still called. Where you take the tunnel tour.
Yeah,
backstage magic. Yeah,
That's how quick they are. I mean, they're in the tunnels. The security is down in the tunnels. The sheriff's office facility out there is right there as you come into Main Street USA. The first set of buildings on the right. Where the jewelers are and the photography center is before you get to the bakery.
Mm-hmm.
That whole block there is behind the facade is the security and law enforcement center. So they're that close to Main Street and that close to the tunnels to get to anywhere in the park.
Yeah,
I was going to say I've been there the week of New Year's Eve And I've seen the SWAT team come out at Magic Kingdom, like just sort of hanging out by a backstage entrance. So, you know, it's there sometimes if you look hard enough.
Yeah, and you know, that's something that, Disney doesn't like. Disney does not want you to see a gun, even if it's on a law enforcement officer's belt. Disney does not want you to see a gun. That's their policy on their property, that unless it's a life or death situation, there shouldn't be a gun visible anywhere on the property. Now, Disney, how much time we got, Nick? I don't want to keep going
about
into the break.
5 or 6 minutes.
Okay. Disney, like all the other theme parks around Central Florida, is a gun-free zone. And you've heard me talk about gun-free zones. Gun-free zones are killing zones. They're where the victims are waiting to become dead. Every mass shooting you could think of, and we can go back to Sandy Hook, we can go back to Gabby Gifford shooting, we can go back to movie theater shootings, we go back to Columbine. Every one of those shootings, the common factor of the 14 mass shootings that we've seen over the past 7 or 8 years since our current president's been in office has been in a gun-free zone. And what that means is the people there say, we don't want guns, and they put up signs that say, no guns allowed. Well, let me ask you this. If you're intending to break the law, you're intending to violate a facility, you're intending to go inside and kill 1, 2, 10 people, whatever it is, you think you care about the trespassing sign that's on out front that says no guns allowed?
Of course not.
Of course not. But that's what's going on. I spent most of the day today watching the Florida House of Representatives debate a bill on open carry, and it's like watching 8-year-olds debate where children come from. They're making things up and they think that's it. And it's the wildest stories in the world. Well, you know, one representative arguing that, well, the gun could just accidentally go off. Well, that's just not how it works. You know, your car doesn't accidentally start and drive down the road. It's a piece of equipment. So it's a gun-free zone. They have the sign out front that says no guns. You know, my personal feeling on that, we've discussed it before, is I won't be caught dead in a gun-free zone. In Florida, I'll give you this quick. In Florida, the rule of law is when you see the sign on a private institution that says no guns allowed, that's a warning. It doesn't hold the weight of law, which means if you're legally able to conceal carry, you have a concealed carry permit from Florida or one of the other 35 states that Florida recognizes, and you go past that sign, the most that can happen to you is they can ask you to leave. And if you don't leave, then you could be arrested for trespassing. But you're not committing a crime by being in that facility with a firearm that you legally possess.
Does that apply to Walt Disney World? Because I know, obviously, they have all sorts of special...
It also applies to Walt Disney World. They are a private institution there, like everybody else. Reedy Creek, I know about Reedy Creek. Reedy Creek is more of a sewer water waste for them. They are... that sign there at Disney World that says no firearms... If you can legally possess a firearm and you make it into the park, you don't get screened for that firearm. And by the way, if you're a good concealed carry holder, you don't get screened because you don't walk around looking like you have a gun. That's the reason you conceal your firearm for your personal safety. But if you go into Disney World and you take that firearm in and you get caught later, not caught, you weren't doing anything with the gun, but something happens and somebody recognizes you have a gun and you get reported, you get asked to leave. Now it's Disney. You're going to lose your pass. You're going to get asked to leave. Disney's going to make nice. They don't want any bad news or bad publicity. But as long as you're a legal firearm holder. Now, if you're illegally, you've got a gun concealed. You're committing a crime already, and you go past that sign. Well, you've just made the crime worse. Now it's armed trespassing.
So you're really saying that myself, Tom, we've probably been to the theme park when people have been carrying firearms around us and we have no idea.
Absolutely. I see you all the time, Nick. Do you ever see any of us, any of our firearms?
No.
Okay. Well, you've never seen... I'll tell you right now, you've never seen me without one.
I don't think I want to, but that means I did something wrong.
Well, you've never seen it. We've done right. As responsible concealed carry holders, we've carried concealed.
Moving to Florida, I just assume everyone has it. I'm from New York, but I think that's always been my assumption is, you know, down here... You assume anyone can have one.
Anyone that is, and again, Florida is there's two kinds of issues permits in states. There's a shall issue a permit and a must issue or may issue a permit when you apply to have a firearm license. Anybody in Florida can own a gun, but if you want to have it concealed, you have to apply for the license. Florida's law is, unless you have something that disqualifies you, you know, you've been arrested for domestic violence, you're on probation, you're a convicted felon, unless there's a reason to disqualify you, they must issue you the permit. Yep. New York is a shall issue state. When I apply for my firearms ID card or my concealed weapons permit, they could tell me no just because. Mm-hmm. They don't have to have a reason.
Tom's not going to like this. We have about a minute left. I really have like a couple more questions that I want to hold you over till the next. We have to take a hard break. It'll only be a couple minutes, Tom. So calm down.
We can definitely do that.
Because I have a couple other questions. Cool. One of the you have like 30 seconds here. It's a quick answer. I know you go to the parks. That's why you know we talk about Disney. You and I, and I mean this is one of the reasons why I brought it up with you. And if this is a longer answer, you can let me know. Knowing what you do know, with the threat assessments, with what you know about security, do you feel safe with your family at the Disney theme parks in Orlando?
I'll give you the short answer, then we'll hit the long one when it comes back. Yes, because.
All right, Mike. We're gonna talk to you a little bit more because I want to.
We have some questions from the chat or comments from the chat. I want to bring up.
Cool. Because one of the things that I want to talk about with Mike is what you and your family can do to feel safe at the parks. We're gonna do that when we get back. You're listening to WDW News Tonight.
WDW News Tonight.
And we're back on WDW News Tonight, hour number two. We're going to actually, we're breaking away from the plan a little bit. We have Mike on the line. Mike is talking to us about Disney and theme park security here in Orlando, and it's been a very interesting discussion, so we want to keep it going a little bit. I want to bring up a couple things from the chat first before we get back to Nick's question that he asked before the break. Disney Springs came up, and I felt like when you were talking earlier, you said the four parks, the four gated parks, and you delineated that from everything else. And I feel like Disney Springs comes into the equation here. Someone asked if there's metal detectors there, and I can answer that because I've been there. There are no metal detectors there. So is there something you can say about the security of Disney Springs, formerly Downtown Disney, at this time?
Yeah, at this point, and I was out there recently, and you pretty much had to pay me to go out to that one.
Yeah.
The security out there, now, for the people that haven't been there recently, they're under a state of construction right now. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes that's taking place at Disney Springs. The infrastructure as you go into Disney Springs, turn off the road, into the parking garage, you're right there. Is the parking garage a threat? Maybe. You know, that's about all I could give you. I don't believe the threat is a car bomb at Disney World. And by the way, if anything happened at Disney Springs, it would be reported worldwide as Disney. It wouldn't matter which park it was in. So if the bad guy hits, if ISIS hits, and they have said this as recently as this past week, we're still looking for targets overseas. Yeah. So they're looking to find the way to get here to do things to us. Infrastructure at Disney World, Disney Springs, the parking lot you come into, or in the parking garage. Always be careful in the parking garage, just like you would at a mall. Anywhere else, it's a parking garage. Don't be, because you're at Disney, you let your guard down. Immediately when you come out of the parking garage, you're in the park, or you're in the facility. And it's kind of crowded. It's a little tight as you walk through between all the buildings. What concerns me, and here's the big threats, is those, remember I talked about crowded areas. As you go over the little bridges and over the little walkways, Disney's put up all the very nice tall walls and fences to keep you from looking at the construction. Mm-hmm. Those are choke points. Those are access choke points, and those are bad places to be when bad things start to happen.
And we kind of saw that happen. I don't know how familiar you are with the Christmas night incident.
Yes.
Yeah, with the reported gunshots, and that's what people kind of reported, is the place kind of went into anarchy, whether or not gunshots were actually fired, we can argue about. But
correct.
Yeah, but it was kind of a nightmare. People ran all in one direction because they were kind of funneled one way, and yeah.
Yeah. When something like that happens, whether it's real or whether it's not, and this is, I do this with my family, and I don't think we go overboard, but we practice a lot. We go over rehearsals and drills at least while we're in the car on the way there. we go to Disney Springs, you know there's going to be choke points. If something happens, all right, kids, listen up. Mommy's going, you are going with mommy, and mommy is going to take you, and you're going to move away. And mommy knows she doesn't go to the crowd. Don't go to the choke point. Don't go to where everybody's directing you. Go to the big crowd, because the crowd is the target. I cannot tell you the number of times I saw while deployed overseas, and even seen in practice back here in the States, that it's the secondary attack that is the killer, that gets the bigger casualty count. The first attack funnels everybody into the choke point. The second attack takes care of the crowd of people. So when the park starts going, run this way, or you just start to see the crowd run that way because your car's that way. That's where the parking garage is. Go the other way. Go the other way. Even if you need medical attention, minor medical attention. You know, if you have to go to the hospital, you want to go right where the little triage center is that they would set up. Minor medical attention, go, leave. Leave the facility. Get, go the opposite direction. Walk as far as you can until there's no more threat. Because if you start going to where the paramedics are and everybody's getting free Band-Aids and free handouts and what's going on and what happened here, you've created another choke point where all people are gathered around for a possible incident to occur. I separate with the drill with my family. So one of us can take the children and leave, and the other can, I hate to say it, my training is to go to the threat. And that's what I'm prepared for. The saying is when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. Mm-hmm. Every major police chief, sheriffs, officials are coming out over the past 6 months, especially since the ISIS attack in Paris, saying, if you can do something to stop the attack, stop the attack, because the police are going to be 4 to 5 minutes behind you. Just to give you an example, everybody that was killed in Sandy Hook, all of the children, all of the teachers, occurred within the first 4 minutes and 22 seconds of when that incident started. After that 4 minutes and 22 seconds, it still took the police another 4 minutes to make entry. If you could do something to stop it, Disney Springs is not a place where they say no guns allowed. It's an open facility.
Yeah.
If you're trained and you know what to do, stop the attack. If you can't, get with your family and get to safety. And I'm going to tell you again, avoid crowded areas. Don't go to your car. You want to get out of there, and I know that, but that parking garage is going to be a target. On the way out, it's going to be a target. Go somewhere else. Go all the way down. Go down and, you know, check out the pins and badges all the way at the other end. You know,
go to Saratoga Springs. There's a bridge to
exactly
there,
you know? Exactly right.
So honestly, you're answering the because very much here. You feel safe going there because you and your family have a plan.
We have a plan. We discuss our plan ahead of time, and you know, my daughter is 10. She's an incredible Disney person, but she knows this is what happens if something happens. You know, go with mommy, go with daddy, go with grandpa, go with Uncle Joe, whoever it happens to be. You know, the plan is there. We know who's with us, and we know which directions everybody's going. When you're there, keep your head on a swivel. Don't give up don't become a victim. Even if it's victim of a pickpocket, don't become a victim. It's Disney World, but it's still real life.
Yeah.
Keep your head on a swivel. Look for things that look wrong. Look for the guy, you know, with the guy that's wearing the overcoat. And it's 105 degrees. Yeah. If you saw somebody stealing and sticking something in their shorts in one of the stores, you would say something. Keep the same thing going on yeah. with security around you. Keep your head on a swivel. Look what's going on left and right, and always be ready to react.
Tom, anything else in the chat that you wanted to bring up?
No, I think that was pretty much the main gist.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I don't mean to put words in your mouth here, but it almost sounds like Disney's be prepared. Nothing is a good substitute for you yourself being prepared. Don't right. rely on somebody else for your security. That's another thing I've heard you over and over again on your right. radio show. But it seems like you have an overall feeling that Disney is doing a very good job. They don't want, obviously, a terrorist attack to happen there. They're going to do everything they can to stop that. And a lot of these, they want to show the public that they do have the security there, right? I mean, like, it seems like there is adequate security in place. Not to say nothing can happen. You have to be prepared.
Correct. I feel safe going to the Disney parks. I would encourage you with your family to have a plan, whether it's going to Disney World or going to the movies or going anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Again, the other thing I would say to you is, you see a gun-free zone, know that only the bad guys are going to have guns there. All right. So, because they're keeping the law-abiding citizens from having guns in gun-free zones.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like the narrative in the media was almost like Disney is beefing up their security, when in reality, it just seems like they're putting it out there for people to see now.
It is. It's become more public. You could see it now. You
know, you
used to never see it, the police officers and the deputies out there. Now you see the metal detectors out there. Unfortunately, it's the world we live in, and they're doing a great job, but they can't do it alone. It's got to be multi-pronged, and you've got to keep your head on that swivel and always know what's going on around you. Again, doesn't matter if you're walking through the mall or taking your trash out. Just because you go to Disney, don't let your guard down.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you for your time tonight. We really do appreciate it. And I know a lot of people out there were really enjoying it. And if anybody wants to hear more from you, you do have your radio show, Arms Room Radio, 3 to 5 on Saturdays, Eastern Time. And you're nationally syndicated, so people can look for it where they are. And it's all about Second Amendment, gun rights. And you guys have a good time. I enjoy coming in here on Saturday with you guys. But
check us out at armsroomradio.com. You can see where we're playing and when to listen.
Excellent. And so, again, thank you, Mike, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a safe night.
All right. Mike from Arms Room Radio.
Yeah, a lot of people in the chat were saying thank you to Mike as well.
Yeah, I think
we were kind of worried how it was going to go. We've never really done anything like this, and next week we have something kind of similar we're going to be talking about, too. So, yeah, it's good.
I think it was good. I think
we're talking about things.
One of the things, like I said, when I first went and talked to Mike, it was about concealed carry. And that's what I wanted to talk to him about, concealed carry on Disney property and that kind of thing, and just get an idea. And then all this other stuff about...
Yeah, because people from other states probably have no idea. As a New Yorker, you know,
yeah,
it wasn't until years later when I started, you know, taking classes and courses and things like that where that stuff is better explained that I realized that, well, when you go to Florida... Probably assume most people have a gun on them.
Yeah. So you talk about next week. Next week,
yes.
You're calling this possibly our most offensive segment of all time.
I don't think even possibly. I don't know how we're getting out of this one alive. I can't talk about it yet because there's a news-related story I have to go cover on Sunday.
Right.
Which you'll be with me. I'll show you in person.
Yeah.
Because I've been kind of sitting on the fence on this story for a couple months now. It's definitely something that's happened. I've checked enough. It's a real thing. But we'll have to talk about it next week. So if you thought that security and gun handling and all of that was a hot button topic, next week we're going to have something. We're going to cover it one way or the other.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
And next week we also have we're going to debut a new segment. What did we just eat?
What did we just eat? We were supposed to do it this week. Nick didn't make it with me to Flying Fish on Friday.
But we are going to what? Liberty
Tree? We're
going
to Liberty Tree Tavern for lunch Sunday. We'll get that.
So it'll be fun.
Recorded.
And then we're going to try something. Next week's show is what? On the 10th, just a few days away from Valentine's Day.
We're
going to
have special guests, too, also. We'll talk about that. We'll have them on next week.
We will. Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Coming, you know.
Next week's show, I just want to preface this again. Next week's show is going to be the biggest train wreck in our history. And if you've been listening for any amount of time, you know these are usually a train wreck to begin with. But go ahead.
Well, you know, Valentine's Day coming up, and there's also all this popularity around these Disney dating sites popping up, and you know, trying to match up some single men and ladies who like the Disney parks and want to, you know, get together. Well, we want to help you guys as well. We want to do our part. And so we're going to bring you WDWNT, The Dating Game.
And not the parody we did on the podcast, Braid. We're actually going to really do this.
We're going to try to make a connection between some Disney park fans. Now here, there's a lot of stipulations. There's a lot of stuff about that. We'll have more online as the week goes on. But we want to put this out there. There's a few stipulations. You must live in the Central Florida area. because you are going to come on the game show live next week and then go on a date if you're chosen. So you have to be living in this area because you're going to go on a physical date. I know that scares a lot of Disney fans out there, but you're going to go on a physical date with a person of the opposite sex, or maybe same sex. I don't know yet. I don't know.
Yeah, we should be open to both.
Who knows?
We should have them put that. Make sure you put that in the notes.
I am, and who knows where this is going to go.
I forget what world. We know we live in the 1990s when Love Connection was on the
exactly. So
guys and girls, it's acceptable.
We want to make connections
in society
wherever they may be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you will go on a date. Paid for by Tom at Walt Disney World, and then you will come on to talk about the day afterwards. So we're going to do the whole thing. So we need some contestants for the dating game, and we're going to have a questionnaire that you can download online at WDWNT.com. And again, the biggest stipulation, we want you to be single. We don't want you to be cheating on anybody. So we want you to be single. We also want you, Tom's like, I don't know. And we want you to live in Central Florida as well. So, I mean, you have to, because that's where we are. That's where we're doing this. That's where the date's going to happen. So those are the two, that's the biggest stipulation right there. So we're going to have the questionnaire online. We're going to get some information for you. So if you're interested in that, keep that in mind. Watch WDWNT this week. I hope to have the questionnaire up tomorrow.
Yeah, so a thing we'll do is, rather than it just being the day of, there will be a post every week, both at WDWNewsTonight.com. We'll put it at WDWNT.com as well, previewing next week's program.
Mm-hmm.
And so that post this week will have all the pertinent information.
And it'll be a lot of fun. Now, you don't have to come into the studio. I'm not sure. We'll see what the contestants want to do. We'll probably have you on
the phone.
Let's
just see if we get interested.
Exactly.
That's
what we want to see. We want to see if there's interest out there to do WWNT, the dating game. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And I want to be a part of that love connection out there. So let's see what we can do. So we'll do that next week's show.
Someone said, damn, I'm from South Florida. Can we open it to Floridians? They can drive?
If they're willing to drive. I don't care if you're from Georgia.
Like Atlanta, wherever. If you're willing to drive or travel for it,
yes.
I'm open to it at this point.
Oh, 100%. If you live in California.
I just want to make that clear because we said Central Florida, but I want to...
Yeah. Florida, southeast region. If you want to drive down from Long Island,
You want to be crazy like Tom and just fly in from New York for a date.
There you go.
God knows I've done it.
That could be, So we want to do that. We want to make that connection happen. And we'll do that on next week's WDW. News Tonight.
You almost called it the radio show, didn't you?
I did.
This is completely different. Completely different.
Yeah, I'm going to ding myself. All right, so we took up a lot of time there, but when we get back, we're going to bring on some of the staff from WDWNT.
Yeah, Jason, Justin, Ron, I believe, are joining us. Hopefully we'll get them connected.
All right, excellent. We'll have a discussion, an in-depth discussion on what we're most excited about coming to Walt Disney World in 2016.
WDW News Tonight.
Having a fun time so far in our premiere episode of WDW News Tonight. Exciting time here. Alright, so we're going to introduce a new segment. Well, they're all new segments because this is the first show. So this is every show we're going to have like kind of a round table in-depth discussion about some topic, obviously parks related, with some of the staff from WDW News Today. And Tom, who do we have on with us this week?
You can see them. Look at this.
Oh,
this is amazing.
That's right. I forgot about that. Look at that. Oh, hello.
Oh, you have it pulled up there now, so I can see myself twice. Anyway, down there, Jason's still not showing up, but I see the mayor, Justin Heyman's down there.
How's it going, everybody?
You got Ron Deanna down there.
Hello.
Let's see. He brought props.
Oh, you see, now people are moving around. Jason, I don't know where Jason is.
I'm here. Don't know why you can't see me.
You're blacked out, but you're there.
Does he still have the tarp up?
No.
There's a white tarp now, I believe.
Now
if you put it over the camera, that won't work.
Look at all your pretty faces.
Anyway. So 2016, lots of stuff on the horizon, Tom.
Yeah. No, so here's the way this is going to work. Rather than just talk piece by piece about what's going to happen this year. I want to talk about what we're most excited about, and then at the end I want to open the floor to what should happen in 2016, or what are things that should still be addressed that maybe Disney isn't as of yet. But I'll give you a quick rundown of what exactly we're talking about. But Justin, you can switch me up there.
Just making sure.
So 2016 at Walt Disney World, a quick rundown of what to expect. Rivers of Light is the new nighttime spectacular at Animal Kingdom, of course. There's also going to be the nighttime Kilimanjaro Safaris. There is Tiffin's and Nomad Lounge. Tiffin's is a new signature restaurant for Animal Kingdom being built on the back of Pete Safari. The Nomad Lounge will be a part of that experience. Also at Epcot, there is Frozen Ever After, as well as the what they're calling the Royal Summer House, which is the meet-and-greet pavilion for Anna, Elsa, and probably Olaf in the Norway Pavilion at Epcot. That's going to start in the spring. And speaking of spring, there's Disney Springs, which will continue to grow. This year, we're expecting the addition of STK, the Edison Sprinkles Blaze Fast-Fired Pizza, as well as two new restaurant concepts by Art Smith, another by Rick Bayless. Disney Springs will also have new shopping, which will include Edward Boehner, Lily Pulitzer, L'Octane in Provence. I've never even heard of that. Pandora, Tommy Bahama, UGG, Uniqlo, and Zara. And, of course, over at Epcot, there's also Soarin' Around the World. And then there's this thing called Disney's Hollywood Studios, which has kind of been taken over by Star Wars. But there's also all the closures happening there as well. That, in short, is everything we at least know and are expecting out of the year ahead. And, of course, we want to look to the year ahead because we're starting pretty much at the top of the year with this new show and give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about as the year progresses. It's a pretty big year, probably one of the biggest years we've had in the 9 years WDWNT has been around, and certainly a lot to talk about. So I want to go around the panel. What is, and I feel like all this is sort of mid-range, nothing, not one of these particular projects sticks out as more important than any of the other ones. So what is the, what's the biggest addition here? What's everyone most excited about? And you just go.
Disney Springs, by far,
you're
actually
more, more excited for Disney Springs than we're getting new attractions. You're more excited for Disney.
You know, I really am. I like everything.
But nothing there is as exciting as Boathouse and Jock Lindsay and Morimoto, where I feel like.
Maybe the
Rick Bayless and the Art Smith restaurants
the
will
Edison
be.
Doesn't entice you?
It's too douchey.
Really?
I think
it sounds really cool.
I know, Ron, but why are you excited about the Edison?
It just seems somewhere between like the super lively bar. It's supposed to have live entertainment inside, which is something I think they really need more of. And
it's kind of like a Pleasure Island establishment, kind of.
Yeah, and I think they've really been missing that. I mean, I was a cast member down there during kind of Pleasure Island's heyday in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I kind of miss that when I go there now. And having more live entertainment. And the hidden speakeasy club that's supposed to be there.
Neverland Underground.
And SDK sounds great. I love a great steakhouse, so.
Great. And Rick Bayless, I'm excited about that one.
Yeah. No, they should be great. This is a year where we actually have some new attractions and stuff. I'm kind of surprised. Are you playing Devil's Advocate, or is that really what you're most excited for?
I'm very excited about it. I mean, other people, I'm sure, are going to pick other things.
Listen, I was not the biggest fan overall, even though I broke the story and I love Disney Springs and it always had a special place in my heart. But, that's not my bread and butter. Everyone knows my bread and butter is attractions and entertainment. I love that stuff. But I will say what's open so far is amazing, and I go there all the time. Like, I go to Morimoto a bunch. I go to Boathouse a lot. I go to Jock Lindsay's because they're all spectacular. And honestly, now living here, like, that's my movie theater AMC.
Right.
That's where I go to the movies.
This is part of it, I think. And maybe we already passed the pinnacle. I don't know. But I'm very excited about
it. I don't think
we
have, but I just don't know if that's what I'm excited about this year.
Yeah. No, that's it. Yes, if I'm being completely honest, yes, Safaris, Rivers of Light, yes. But, I mean,
I'm not saying you're not excited for other things, but most.
Yeah, most. Most Disney. I'm going with Disney Springs.
Well, I'll jump in here and I'll say,
certainly Disney Springs is not what I'm most excited about out of this. But this might be a little bit different between a local and a traveler, so to speak. So, I think although we're not going to get a lot of the changes this year to the studios, I think overall the studios has me the most excited about any sort of changes coming. Even the fact that half of it will be closed is exciting to me because that means that we're starting something.
I know we've kind of, like, since the show started, we've kind of been in this countdown. Like, when is it going to happen? Like, we had the name change and some stuff early on, and then it's just kind of been a waiting game. Like, when are they going to do it?
It seems like it's been forever. So, you know, that's really exciting. I almost can't get excited about Pandora because we've been talking about it, I feel like, longer than studios. So.
James Cameron saw a shadow.
You know, I think Justin hit on the head for me. It's probably a little bit of that being a local. So Rivers of Light and Kilimanjaro Safaris, Frozen Soren. I'm going to do that stuff time and time again. I'm going to enjoy it. But when I'm just going to hang out, I want a cool place to hang out, and it doesn't have to be just walking around the parks anymore. Disney Springs will be a very fun place to hang out when it's all said and done.
Hold on. There's something happening in the show right now, and I want to comment on it. There's like a souvenir cup battle happening. Justin's got the castle.
Did you notice that?
Justin's got the castle mug. What's Jason got? I gotta see what Jason's got. Was it just Pepsi?
Diet Pepsi.
This is our first video show in 9 years. You just have a Diet Pepsi.
It needs to be at least a resort mug.
Okay, so I've got...
All right, I'll go get a resort mug.
I up? I don't know.
Let me take a commercial break.
So there, I've got Sci-Fi Dine-In, but not only is it Sci-Fi Dine-In, it's from 1996.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Look at that.
So we talked about, Nick said he wants to wear a different, he's not Cameron this week, so it doesn't matter. Nick wants to wear a different Disney hat every week. And I said, I literally have enough souvenir cups that till the end of time, I could do a different souvenir cup every week. So that's what I'm going to do. Ron, do you have one, or did we leave you out?
I've got the water parks.
Ron's got the water parks cup. Fun fact, I saw a bum on OBT with that cup. How he got it, I don't know. Nick, oh, here's Nick. Which hat is it? Oh, it's the 28 Main. You bought the logo hat?
I got the logo.
Why?
This isn't the logo. This is the press.
But it's still it's so boring.
Nick, you need to say hi to everybody. Boring. This is your
Ronald Reagan back here also. People wanted us to comment. Ronald Reagan, this is I can say it's a conservative radio station, I suppose, typically. So there's Ronald Reagan in here, and I left it because honestly, Ronald Reagan has a lot of Disney significance. Hosted one of the hosts of the opening of Disneyland in 1955, and as well, he appeared at the parks. He was at Walt Disney World on several occasions. He's in the Hall of Presidents, and of course, he's mentioned in one of my favorite movies, Back to the Future. So anyway, so we mentioned all those things. We should get back to the segment though. So Disney Springs already came up, which I didn't think was going to be the first thing to come up. And Justin, you've said studios construction at this point.
I'm going to have to jump in here.
Oh, Justin, is Justin gone? Oh,
no, I'm sorry.
No, Justin's back.
Getting used to nodding. People can see me now.
I know. Yeah. I'm getting used to it.
Hi.
someone actually commented, I didn't picture Justin as bald. And it's my favorite, favorite thing that's ever happened.
I was waiting for you to say something about it.
I had to bring it up.
Tom, you have to know that I chose the Diet Pepsi cup thinking back to that picture of you and your dad and Michael in front of the Diet Pepsi sign at some baseball game or something from like 6 years ago.
I know what you're talking about, and that's weird.
But yes. Anyway. No one else knows. I will find it and post it somewhere so that everyone knows what I'm talking about.
I will say this before Jason gets into it. When we started this website and podcast, I had much more hair. So,
and much less children.
True.
Blame it all on Tom.
Oh, it's always
blame it all on Tom.
Now, is it stress or is Tom just making you pull it out directly?
I'm all turning gray, man. We're supposed to be having a segment. There's a segment here.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to start talking about Rivers of Light then.
Talk about Rivers of Light.
So definitely anyone who knows me knows that I'm a big nighttime entertainment fan, and certainly Rivers of Light is well, one of the newest things that's come to the newest thing that's come to Walt Disney World in a long, long time as far as nighttime entertainment goes. So I'm definitely looking forward to Rivers of Light. I think that is going to completely change all of the park, the crowd flow in all of the parks, because Animal Kingdom is going to go from a half or three-quarter day park to a full-day park where people are staying for the night, or they're leaving Epcot and the Magic Kingdom to go to Animal Kingdom for the night. And that's going to be completely different, a completely different occurrence, a completely different feel for that park, and a completely different crowd flow for the entire resort. So to me, that's significant. You know, anyone who wants to see, you know, Illuminations is going to deal with fewer crowds. You know, it may draw people away from studios if they've already seen the Star Wars fireworks. So, you know, to me, I think Rivers of Light is significant for more than just Animal Kingdom. It's significant for the other parks as well because of the effect it's going to have.
There's a lot of interesting questions I've been thinking about with Rivers of Light. Number one, I think what's interesting is this is coming about in the spring. And the spring is when it starts, you know, starts to get, you know, it's light out later. So nightfall doesn't come to what, like 8:30?
I mean, it hits, yeah.
Yeah, so your first Fantasmic is typically 8:30. So that's going to be your first Rivers of Light. Yeah. So here's the thing, nighttime Kilimanjaro Safaris, if that starts at 8:30, what time is this park closing? Are we going to have just an hour and a half of nighttime safari in the summer? Like, is that,
you might.
Is that how the first summer is going to go? They're marketing this heavily. Can you imagine what the line would be like if everyone in the park is trying to do Kilimanjaro Safaris at night within 90 minutes?
They go to Kilimanjaro right after Rivers of Light.
Yeah.
You know, everybody gets up for Rivers of Light.
We assume there will be multiple shows of Rivers of Light because the viewing area is not very big. We conservatively think 2,500 to 3,000 people a show.
And so if even if there's three shows, like they did three shows for World of Color, right? So they did three shows for World of Color in its first season. If there's three shows and the first one is at 8:30, the second one is at, what, 9:30? And then 10:30 or something like that?
Maybe.
I mean,
this is also a summer without Avatar, so there will not be Avatar. There will be Rivers of Light and Nighttime Safari, and then what already exists at the park.
Right. So, which means there's not going to be much to do. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe most of the attractions close at 9 o'clock or something, and Everest stays open late, and Safari stays open late, and maybe Dinoland stays open late. Something along those lines. I mean, they're going to have to figure out a way to make sure that, you know, people who are staying for the second and potentially third Rivers of Light show have something to do in the meantime.
What if, is it possible that nighttime Kilimanjaro Safaris could be like Fast Pass Plus only or something like that?
I think that would be a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, I think, too, the thing is, though, if you think about it now, Safari closes basically at dusk or a little before. So nighttime might be very loose here to mean later than it's open now. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be
yeah,
dark.
Yeah, so like
out.
7:30. It's 7:30 or something.
Yeah, I mean,
it's dusk safaris.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah. If the park closes at 7, Safari's shutting down by 5:30, 6 o'clock. So that just might mean, well, we just won't shut it down at 5:30, 6 o'clock.
And what about all the really performer-intensive shows that they have with between Lion King and Nemo? Are they going to run those into the evening?
No, I think those are the ones that
are going to
shut down.
They have to until Avatar opens, though.
No, I think those are going to shut down.
I think Lion King will still run. I think they will have Lion King. I think Nemo, because of the proximity and the cost, will not run that late.
Will not run.
But I think Lion King, they will try to pull people over there.
I think Nemo has a much larger theater than Lion King.
It does, but it's too close to where they're going to be pulling people in.
No, I'm saying it has a much larger theater, so you can you can fulfill everybody who wants to see Nemo by the 4 o'clock show and then be done.
Maybe not start Lion King shows till noon.
That's true. They don't have to do those 10 a.m.
Fast pass for that. I mean, I think Lion King is pretty popular.
You know, folks in the chat bring up a good possibility here too, is that Rivers of Light can always extend itself past park closing. They could, you know, if the park closes at 8, they could start an 8 o'clock show.
I'm not arguing that. I think Kilimanjaro is the much bigger problem, especially for a summer where they're marketing this as a new thing, this nighttime safari. If people don't actually get to go on it after dark, there might be a lot of really upset people.
Well, I think if there's an 8:30 Rivers of Light, a 9:30 Rivers of Light, and a 10:30 Rivers of Light. All right, so the park can close at 10 o'clock. If you wanted to see, if you saw the 8:30 Rivers of Light, you can go get in line for the nighttime safaris. You know, they close the line for the nighttime safaris at 10. It'll probably have an hour or two wait at that point. But if you're going to see the 9:30 or the 10:30 Rivers of Light, you're not going to be able to get into the safaris afterwards. So, that'll kind of limit the number of people who go into safaris. If there's 3,000 that see the first Rivers of Light show and then go hop in line, that's going to basically be the end of the line. They'll cut off the line at 10 o'clock and that's it.
Possible.
So my guess is that, you know, they're marketing it heavily. They're probably going to close the line at 10 o'clock, and it'll probably have a two-hour wait right when they close the line, and that will, you know, if the last Rivers of Light is at 10:30, it'll be over around 11. You know, the last Kilimanjaro people get out of the park around midnight. That's probably the way it's going to work. I mean, if you're at Epcot and having the late dinner, and you know, you could stroll out of Epcot at 11 o'clock at night. So I think it's feasible.
Yeah. Ron, do you, what are you most looking forward to, Ron?
I think all the stuff at Animal Kingdom. I'm really looking forward to Rivers of Light. Everything we've heard makes it look like a great show. And I love a good signature restaurant. So Tiffin sounds fantastic. I love when they experiment with, you know, some sort of different food in the parks. And another bar is always welcome, too. Especially to kill that lull between when you're going to have done most of the attractions by 4 or 5 o'clock and waiting for the evening stuff to kick in.
I think at this point Animal Kingdom has more bars than it does attractions.
Well, it's not a bad thing.
It's a real thing. No, it's not. They're all really good, too. They're all, unlike Epcot, where most of them are terrible and suck. Animal Kingdom, like, almost all of them are amazing. Like, even Thirsty River Bar, even though most of it's pre-made, like, there's some really good stuff there.
I mean, what does Epcot really only have? 3 bars, right?
There's Cava del Tequila.
You have Cava, Tutto Gusto.
And I'm talking about even the stands, like the beer stands and stuff like that.
You got Rose and Crown, and then if you count the Norway, like Norway beer stand or something.
Yeah, like the Canada beer stand, I think, has enough beer where we can classify that as a.
And certainly water. You've got the one at American Adventure. That would count. So, but most of them are. Rose and Crown is pretty nice. La Cava is nice, but that's about all I would say in terms of Epcot bars.
Has everyone given their most anticipated 2016 edition at this point?
Yeah, Disney. No one cares about Tiffin's.
I love Tiffin. I'm super excited about Tiffin.
Yeah, right.
What's at Tiffin's?
Honestly, the thing I'm most excited about, I can't even believe I'm going to say this. Frozen Ever After.
Oh, my God.
I am excited to see life come into Epcot. I'm excited. It's Maelstrom, but like what we've heard about the animatronics and the show scene so far, I'm actually really excited. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it. Like Soarin', I'm excited about Soarin', but it's just new movie at the end of the day. Like, that's great. I want it to happen, but like, I look at everything on this list. Studios, there's nothing concrete enough for me to be excited about yet. Disney Springs, I'm, again, excited. Rivers of Light, I'm concerned. I'm concerned we're getting Light Magic, too. And we'll see what happens. I think they might be trying to be too artsy with it. We'll see how it goes. And again, I'm excited about everything.
You think Light Magic 2?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it could be a big mistake. I think it's characterless. It's a little too artsy. I don't think it's going to connect with people. I don't know. I'm not sure. I could be completely wrong. It could be a wonderful, wonderful show, but I have a bad, bad feeling about Rivers of Light the last couple weeks. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Just the last couple of weeks you got this bad feeling.
Yeah, suddenly as I saw more come together, I don't know. I think it's too much show and not enough nighttime spectacular.
Reflections of Earth has stuck around for almost 17 years now with the giant wall in the middle, and people still love it without characters and without anything there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frozen is almost the only completely new attraction this year, other than, you know, Rivers of Light's a nighttime show. But this is all really great stuff we're getting this year. I mean, next year is going to be more exciting with Avatar, and Toy Story might edge in by the end of the year. We're not sure yet. But this is sort of like the warm-up year. The next couple of years are going to be insane, and there's a lot of really great stuff this year. But I think, I don't know, Frozen Ever After, just it seems exciting. Like, I'm excited for a character dark ride with great animatronics, and I'm excited to see some life in Epcot and to see what that's going to do for that park. I think having a Frozen attraction that park's going to boom, and there's going to be money there, and I think we're going to see it be the start of something, like a complete overhaul for the park. I think it's going to start with that ride. And I think maybe I'm more excited for where the park will head after that almost than I am for the ride, but I'm also excited for the ride. I think it'll be cute.
How about the DVC lounge upstairs at Imagination?
I'm excited for that.
Yeah. And how about the Muppets restaurant?
It's still rumored, so we can't talk about it just yet. So very quickly, Nick, how are we doing on time? We have 2 minutes. So very quickly, I want to go around. What should be happening in 2016 that's not or not announced at this point, very quickly from everyone? And this might be a very long discussion we could have on another show, but
Avatar Land should have opened by now. How about that?
It might open by the end of the year, but we can't say that because it's not official. I expect that we will be spending Christmas in Pandora. But that's me.
I'd say at least one or two Future World Pavilions should have had plans confirmed for rehab by now.
Yeah. On the same note, I was going to say I'm hoping we see the Festival Center move to the intervention side for at least one.
Well, now that's a meet and greet building at this point, so I don't think that's even happening now.
But then, on the other hand, with World of Coke opening in Disney World Springs, are we going to lose Club Cool?
Losing Club Cool. It's a different thing. I don't know who. Yeah. Another thing Tom's angry about, World of Coke. It's not World of Coke. It's not. It's a Coca-Cola store. There is a tasting room, but it's not World of Coke. World of Coke is this giant thing in Atlanta that's like a whole day experience, not this tiny little store at Disney Springs, which will be cool, but it's not World of Coke. Everybody needs to stop. I'm getting annoyed. Getting really annoyed. Anyone else, real quick?
No, you know, I'm content. Is that bad? I just see there's so much going on. And then I almost said the Future World thing at Epcot, honestly. But thinking about it, like, what are they going to do right now? They're working on so many different projects. Get what you're working on perfect, and then we'll worry about Future World.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like Nick said earlier, Nick was angry about all the people complaining about construction at studios. I'm so excited when there's construction anywhere at Walt Disney World. Like, I'm excited about the construction at Disney Springs, just because of how much better it's going to get. So construction at studios is going to be, you know, that's exciting. I'll go to studios all the time just to see what's going on there.
I will say the one thing I think should be addressed this year, because it's starting to look really sad, is the nighttime lineup in Magic Kingdom. Electrical Parade looks like garbage. Wishes is old.
Yeah, old. You know, Wishes is a good point.
It's a wonderful show, but it's too old.
I'm kind of surprised we haven't heard at least an announcement.
Yeah, I mean, the hub is done.
Wishes replacement coming.
Because the hub is done. Now it's go time.
Right, so there's no really good reason why they haven't announced a Wishes replacement yet at this point.
It's time for Paint the Night, and it's time for new fireworks show. But Nick, we are way out of time. Nick.
Yeah, we are. We are. So
thank you, panel. We will see you all next week. Another exciting topic that will be sure to offend everyone.
I think so. You know, I had some time while you guys were kind of chatting about going on about stuff. I know we're doing the dating game next week, but you know, it kind of bugged me a little bit because you did Word and World as Tom Corliss this week. And like, I think I should have a game show like that's mine. It's named after me.
What do you want?
Like a game show. You have Word and World as Tom Corliss. I want a game show that's mine. Like, I don't know. Like, what is Nick touching?
What is Nick touching? Number one, we know the answer to that. And number two, I'm not sure we can say that on the radio.
All right. How about what's in Nick's mouth? Fun. Okay. No?
I hope the answer is churro.
Oh, it's always a churro, Tom. You actually get really disappointed when they only have the mini ones.
Why don't we take a commercial break? We'll be right back.
Dip them in that sauce first, maybe?
WDW News Tonight.
Time travelers, fasten your seatbelt and remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the time rover.
Time travel commencing in T-minus 10 seconds.
All right, well, a little bit of Flashback to the Future. One of the reoccurring versions of this we'll do is This Week in Disney History. And this week in Disney history, Disney legend and Imagineer John Hench unfortunately left us this week in 2004. A little bit about John. He was born in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hench attended numerous art and creative schools across the country, including the Art Students League of New York, the Otis College of Art and Design in Los Angeles, the San Francisco Art Institute in San Francisco, and the Chouinard Art Institute in Los Angeles. I'm sure I'm butchering that. But starting in 1939 as a story artist, he weaved his way through the Disney Animation Department, working in areas including backgrounds, layout and art direction, effects animation, and special effects. And Hench was respected by Walt Disney as one of the studio's most gifted artists. And he teamed him, in fact, with Salvador Dali on the animated short Destino. A project began in 1945 that was not completed and released until 2003. Hench was also Disney's official portrait artist. For Mickey Mouse, painting the company's portraits for Mickey and for his 25th, 50th, 60th, 70th, 75th birthdays. And by 1954, Hench was the studio's live-action department, was in the live-action department as the lead developer of the hydraulic giant squid in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which won him an Academy Award for Best Special Effects for the film. But he wasn't done there. He then moved to Wed Enterprises, now Imagineering, to design attractions for Disneyland. He led the design for Tomorrowland, the Adventureland building and walkways, New Orleans Square, and the Snow White Grotto. He also designed Space Mountain, Cinderella Castle, the Magic Kingdom, and Tokyo Disneyland, and contributed to many attractions, just to name a few, the Mickey Mouse Review, the Carousel of Progress, and It's a Small World. And because of his resemblance to Walt Disney and his frequent visits to the parks, he was often asked to sign autographs and pose for photos they thought it was Walt. In 1990, he was made a Disney legend, the company's highest honor, presented to him, of course, by Michael Eisner at the time. And Hench continued to maintain an office at WDI in Glendale and worked there daily up until a few weeks before his death. And his name tag and 65-year service award are prominently displayed in the building's lobby still to this day. And quote from Marty Sklar, other than Walt Disney himself, no one symbolizes the Walt Disney Company more than John Hench. John Hench, the true Renaissance man of Disney. He did it all.
Yeah, the one thing I have to say about him, when I first started getting into Disney history and stuff, and I started like really liking a lot of the concept arts and the old artwork and things like that, and I realized very quickly that all the art that I liked the best was John Hench's work. Like, I love his style, and it's
just bewildering that a man could not only be a part of these animated classic films, then to build the squid, the most complicated film effect ever built up until that point for 20,000 Leagues.
Yeah.
And then to move into being one of the world's first theme park designers. The man could do anything.
All right, we're gonna get to this segment. We're gonna do it pretty quick, but it's a segment I've been looking forward to the most, and it is a segment titled none other than "Who Hates Tom Now." Tom gets hate mail.
I do some controversial things. I'm an outspoken person, and sometimes people do not agree with myself or WWNT. So I decided every week Nick should point out all the times people didn't agree with me, disliked me, or WWNT.
And these come from anywhere, social media, comments on the website, things like that. So we have I'm going to not use names to protect the innocent. You had a rumor.
Can use names. I don't care.
Disney files add drones to fireworks, all right? Well, someone wrote in, this rumor is years old. Nice going again, WDWNT. Late to the game, as always.
Number one, the post wasn't about it being a rumor. They filed for FAA exemptions. That's what the post is about. Not that it's a rumor that they actually filed for it to be an exemption.
All right, we have another one here. You had a job fair going on. You're hiring, but someone didn't really take kindly to that. Second Disney site in just a couple of days announcing they are hiring for no compensation at all. Why anybody would like to work their butt off for nothing while the owners, Tom Corliss, cash in on all the work is beyond me.
Number one. This company is still very much in the red. I myself and the Corliss family fortune, if you want to call it that, have been plunked in to WDWNT for many, many years. Just now we're starting to actually, there's money coming in now, and we're starting to figure out what we want to do with that. But I personally in no way profit, and I think it's disgusting that people assume that this is still a nonprofit organization until otherwise stated. And I have been a volunteer the whole time, and everyone else volunteers because we love this website. We love doing this, and we've made a difference, and it's a wonderful thing that we've all been blessed to be a part of. Shut up, Anakin.
You are profiting off the sweat of people like me and others out there in the WDWNT staff, and I can't stand for it.
Nick, I forced you to sit over there across from me.
Your fancy car pulling into the parking lot.
My 2007 gold Kia Rio with seats with barbecue stains, thanks to children who used to sit in the back seat. Yeah. Man, I'm raking in the money.
Raking in the cash.
Raking
it. Yeah, it's all coming in. Tom, we're winding down here. I had a blast. First edition of the WDW News Tonight.
It was something. Please give us feedback if you watched the show, whether you watched it live or I left the seat. Look, we're still learning. I left the lower third on the whole time.
Bumps in the road,
yeah.
But that
let
is
let us know what you thought
okay.
of the show, what you thought of the video component, the chat, the audio if you listen to the podcast version. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, and so you can check us out. We're gonna obviously put it up for on demand, so it's gonna have its own iTunes feed
download, and also on YouTube. This is going on YouTube the second I hit stop broadcast. This
yep,
is
it be will.
Available to watch.
And we hope to kind of put clips and segments and stuff for you to check out, and other information related to the show. I think Tom and I we plan to maybe hang out a little bit more, do some stuff around the parks. It'll be a lot of fun. So check out WWNT.com for all that info.
And remember, kids, it was my first flight, and I'm still getting used to my programming. Hey. Put your hands up, cousin.